बलाद दंस्य बलान बले। नरदेवोऽसि वेषेन नट्वत्कर्मणाद्विजः कस्त्वमश्चरणे लोके बलाद्धंस्य बलान् बली। नरदेवोऽसि वेषेन नट्वत्कर्मणाद्विजः कस्त्वमश्चरणे लोके बलाद् धंस्य बलान् बले। नरदेवोऽसि वेषेन नट्वत्कर्मणाद्विजः
माताजीस। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong and eight. You dare kill within my protection those who are helpless. By your dress, you pose yourself to be a godly man, king. But by your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the thrice-born Kshatriyas. Purport. The Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas are called twice born because for these higher classes of men, there is one birth by parental conjugation and there is another birth of cultural rejuvenation by spiritual initiation from the both bona fide acharya or spiritual master. So a Kshatriya is also twice born like a Brahmana. And his duty is to give protection to the helpless. The Kshatriya king is considered to be the representative of God to give protection to the helpless and chastise the miscreants. Whenever there are anomalies in this routine work by the administrators, there is an incarnation of the Lord to re-establish the principles of godly kingdom. In the age of Kali, the poor helpless animals, especially the cows, which are meant to receive all sorts of protections from the administrative heads, are killed without restrictions. Thus the administrative heads under whose noses such things are happening are representatives of God in name only. Such powerful administrators are rulers of the poor citizens by dress or office, but factually they are worthless, lower class men without the cultural assets of the toys born. No one can expect justice or equality of treatment from ones born spiritually uncultured, low class men. Therefore, in the age of Kali, everyone is unhappy due to the maladministration of the state. The modern human society is not toys born by the spiritual culture. Therefore, the people's government by the people who are not twice born must be a government of Kali in which everyone is unhappy. Hare Krishna. So, in the Prabhupada, the emphasis is on one point, that whenever there are anomalies in this routine work by the administrators, there is an incarnation of the Lord to re-establish the principles of godly kingdom. So God, Krishna, appears in many forms in this material world. And one of the form is Archa Vigraha, or a deity form. So today we'll discuss the subject. People, they always have this question. Why do Indians worship idols, statues? Actually, it is not a statue or idol, it is a deity. So why do Indians worship deities? That we'll discuss elaborately today. There are many people who belong to different religious faith, and they don't accept God having a form. Their objection is that God is impersonal and he cannot have any form. But actually, there are many ways to perceive, to realize and worship God. There is not just a one way of worshipping God. Like His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaji, in one of the class he was mentioning, just like 5 plus 5 is 10. 6 plus 4 is also 10. And 7 plus 3 is also 10. There is not just a one way of approaching 10. You cannot say just only 5 plus 5 is 10. No. 9 plus 1 is also 10. 2 plus 8 is also 10. So there are many ways to approach 10. But those who are narrow-minded people, they think that whatever the way I have learned, whether it is education or a religious faith, that is the only way. But in the Vedic culture, we accept that there are many ways of God realization. So is God impersonal? Yes. Is God a person? Yes. There are people, they are very fanatic. God is only impersonal. God cannot have form. But Bhagavad Gita says that God is impersonal and at the same time he has a form. Because he is supremely independent, he is infinite. So being a supremely independent and infinite, he can be impersonal and he can also have a form. Sometimes people say, oh, no. When you say that God has a form, that means you are putting limitations on God. Because God is all-pervading. He is unlimited. He is unending. He is infinite. So when you say that God has two hands and two feet and one head, that means you are putting limitations. Only this is the form. This is only God. But it's actually vice versa. When someone says that God cannot have a form, that is the meaning of putting limitations on God. Because you are saying that there is something which God cannot do or God should not do. Why should he not? See, we all are children of God. If we have a form, why not our father? Just like when the children ask their mother, oh dear mother, who is our father? And mother says, no, you cannot see your father. Why? Even I have not seen your father. Your father is not a person. You may say, what do you mean he is not a person? So, even in this material world, we can see a children have a father. Similarly, it may be like a mundane analogy, but still even Bhagavad Gita and all the Shastras says that God is impersonal and at the same time, he is also a person. Upanishad says, Tadde jati tanne jati taddure tadavantike. God is far away and same time God is very close to us. God is present within everything and the same time God is present outside of everything. So God can do anything. Like for example, in this glass, there is a liquid sugar. It's not water here. There is a liquid sugar. And this is also sugar. But this is a solid form of sugar. This is a liquid sugar. This is solid form of sugar. Now, if I throw this liquid from this liquid sugar from this glass on the floor, what will happen? This liquid sugar will spread everywhere. And when the liquid sugar is spreaded everywhere, that means it becomes a nirakar, formless. When it is spread everywhere, it is formless. But when it is a solid form, it has a form. See? Now the substance is same. Absolutely there is no difference. This is also sugar. This is also sugar. Now this sugar is in the liquid form. And therefore it can become formless. But this is the solid form sugar. So now, this is the problem in the world. When people say God is impersonal, He is infinite, He is spread everywhere. He is impersonal. But when He has a form, no, then this form is a material form. No. Substance is same. God is Satchidananda. Satchidananda means, just like you know, when we accept some material body, this body is made up of 5 elements. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. Our body is a fleshy body, isn't it? The flesh, bones, blood, stool and urine. So this body is in one sense a nasty body. So when someone says, oh, God also has accepted form, that means His body must be like my body. No. Krishna's body looks like our body, like a human body, but His body is not a fleshy body. His body is not made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. His body is Satchidananda. Sat means eternity. Chit means knowledge. And bliss, ananda. So His hands also is made up of knowledge, bliss and eternity. Even His nails are made up of knowledge, bliss and eternity. Not earth, water, fire, air, ether. A beautiful example is given in the Shastra. Just like a rainbow. Sometime during the rainy season, a rainbow appears in the sky. Now, why does this call rainbow? Generally, the bows are made up of either wood or metal. General bow, dhanushya baan hota hai wo. Generally, the bows are made up of wood or a metal. But this rainbow has nothing to do with the wood or a metal. Then why it is called rainbow? Because of the shape. The shape is like of a bow, therefore it is called rainbow. And this rainbow is made up of a drop of water plus sunshine. That is the combination of these two, is a rainbow. And here in this world, bow is made up of wood or metal. But because the shape is same and similar, therefore it is called rainbow. Similarly, Krishna's body looks like a human body. Or rather, human body looks like Krishna's body. Therefore, He is called human being or He has a form. But His form is completely spiritual. And what kind of form He has? Venum kvanantam aravinda dalayataksham barahavatam samashitam budhasundarangam kandarpakotikam aniya vishesha shobham. Amazing. Venum kvanantam aravinda. He is playing upon His flute. Barahavatam samashitam. He is putting on a peacock feather on His turban, on His head. And the last line, very important. Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. What kind of beauty He has? Even millions of cupids If you put together millions of bodies, Cupid's beauty together, still it will surpass Krishna's beauty. Krishna's beauty will surpass millions of Cupid's beauty. When Cupid saw Krishna, he fainted. Now, do you think that Cupid, Kamadeva, will faint by seeing some fleshy body or a material body? If Kamadeva is fainting, that means Krishna's beauty is not a material, it's completely spiritual. One time, His Holiness Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj, his guru in ISKCON, GBC, very advanced Vaishnava, one time he was traveling to Middle East countries and he went to one place and on the airport, one officer, he asked a casual question to His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj. He said, Swamiji, that I heard that you Indians, you worship stones. You Indians, you worship stones. And Radha Govinda Maharaj looked at him and coincidentally, there was also one stone nearby. So Radha Govinda Maharaj very gently touched that stone with his lotus feet. He kind of, you know, kicked that stone. And then Maharaj said, see, I am touching this stone with my foot. That means I am not worshipping the stone. And then Radha Govinda Maharaj mentioned that we don't worship stones. We worship God. Of course, in India, there are many places and many people just for earning money, or there are so many agendas. They just apply some red color on the stone. I personally saw. Previously, I used to go to one place for preaching. I saw in one place, in front of me, one person would apply a red color on the stone and kept it under the neem tree and the roadside. After 10 years, it became a place of pilgrimage. Hundreds and thousands of people, once in a year they have the festival. Once in a year, thousands of people gather to celebrate that festival. And nobody knows which god is that. It is just a red color on the stone. And everyone says, Jagrut Devta. You ask, you come to this temple and ask any benediction, your desires will be fulfilled. So, this kind of incidents are happening every day in India. And therefore many people don't believe. But that doesn't mean the original will also become a false. Dharma or Shastra explain that God has a person, a God has a form. And in the Kali Yuga, every religion, it's not a Hinduism, every religion you will find cheaters. The Shastras are bona fide, authentic. But there are many cheaters, they take disadvantage of the Shastra and they just for earning money or something, they do like that. So therefore, what is the difference between a statue and a deity? Deities like Krishna or God is invited in one place, in one archa vigraha. On behalf of the whole town or a city, a pure devotee, he invites Krishna or God from the spiritual world to reside within a particular stone or a vigraha or a murti. And why? Very important. Why does Krishna appear in the deity form? Because God is spiritual, Sachidananda. Our bodies are material bodies. Our eyes are fleshy eyes. Now with these fleshy eyes, we cannot see Sachidananda form. Even if Krishna comes in front of us, are we capable of seeing Him? Are we qualified of seeing Him? No. Because our body is material and our body can appreciate and only can relate and only can see a material object. Therefore Krishna, out of His causeless mercy, He descends from the spiritual world and appears in some material objects, look like a material object, so that the whole town or a city, everyone able to serve Krishna in the deity form. That is the purpose of Krishna appearing in the deity form. So that every day we can dress the deities, we can offer a bhoga to him, we can serve, we can sing in front of the deities. So God is present everywhere. But when he is present in the deity form, we can relate to the deity. And therefore, prana pratishta, installation of this installation ceremony of the deities, that is very important. So, does that mean whenever and wherever you see any small statue, you know, sometimes in the market they sell some vigra, some statue of God, goddesses, or photos, do they also represent God? No. If you see some statues of gods or goddesses sold in the market, or photos sold in the market, those photos and statues can remind you about God. But they cannot carry the same potency of an installed deity. Like, just like, you know, you see Tirupati Balaji, Panduranga Vithal in Pandharpur, Jagannath Puri, Jagannath Swami, Dwarkadish in Dwarika, the deities of Vrindavan. All these places, all these deities, most of them are self-manifested deities, or even if they are carved and invited, pure devotees have invited them. And since millions of years, they have been given a worship, so that God is present. So now the same potency you won't find, you know, any small shop, thousands of the small statues are sold and photos are sold. Of course, those statues and photos can remind you about God. You can just remember Krishna. Many times, you know, there are so nasty people. They paint God or goddesses' pictures on the walls, so that people should not urinate or spit on it. Actually, God or a goddess is not present on that, in that painting. But surely, whoever is doing that, that person will be punished. Because his intentions are wrong. His agenda is wrong. And you cannot force that God or goddess is, okay, now I have painted your picture on this wall, you have to be here. No, he's not bound. So, and many people, they also spit. Those who don't believe in Hindu gods or goddesses, they spit on it. And they think, oh, I spat on the Hindu god. The god is not present in the painting. It is agenda of some stupid person. So, even like during that Ganesh Puja, even if an ordinary family, wife, husband, children, if they invite Ganesha at their home and worship Ganesha according to the Shastra with the Durva grass and prayers, Ganesha will surely accept your worship. And even if you invite Ganesh to in the big chauraha, the big mandal, Ganesha will accept your worship. But Ganesha is not forced to hear your DJ music. You cannot say, hey, Ganesh, you stay here and we will put a DJ music you must hear. That time Ganesh is not there. But even if you have a small house and you worship Ganesh with a proper mantra and puja vidhi, Ganesh will accept. So similarly, the deity or God is not like an our servant. Whenever we want, wherever we want, we can carry him and go anywhere. In Vrindavan also, nowadays some of that fad has come. People carry Laddu Gopal on their head or in the basket. They go everywhere showing. And then people offer chocolates and this, that. Actually, God should be, you know, installed in one place. We should be serving God. God should not be serving us and carry. The Goswamis like Lokanath Goswami and others, they had that love. Lokanath Goswami would carry Radha and Krishna in a bead bag kind of jholi. Everywhere where he would go. His life was meant only for the service of Radha Gokulanand. Radha Gokulanand, yes. No. Radha Vinod. Lokanath Goswami, Radha Vinod. So deities, when you perform the prana pratistha, then the deities are present. Have you seen this anywhere? This is a mailbox, letter box. Nowadays this analogy also has become outdated. Sometimes we give this analogy that if you put a letter in a letter box and mailbox, it will reach to your destination, isn't it? But in late 90s or mid 90s, this system was lost. The sending letters through mailboxes, it lost. But somehow or other, I don't know, it is surprising. Even now if you go to or Govinda's restaurant in the corner, you will find this mailbox. And 6 months back I had seen that box was rusted, completely rusted. More than 25 years nobody has used that mailbox. But recently they have repainted it. I don't know why. If you go and see now, it's repainted completely fresh. So previously, 80s and 90s, people would write a letter with the address. And if you put it in that red box, it will surely reach to its destination. But if someone creates another similar kind of box, a red color box, and puts next to the original box, and even if you put on, you know, keep on putting the letters every day, and you are happy that, oh, my mail letter has gone to the destination. No. Because it is not authorized by government. So wherever you find this letter box, mail box, because it is authorized and sanctioned by the government and post office, therefore your letter will reach to the destination. But any ordinary letter box will not reach. Similarly, our worship will be accepted only by authorized pran pratistha deities. If you just put any stone, red color on the stone, and if you say that, oh, here is my God, and this God will protect me. No. Another example is given, beautiful. Here is a 500 rupees note, green in color. And here is also one paper. This also looks very similar. Shape, size, very similar. What is the difference? If I take this note, 500 rupees note, and if I go to the market, I can purchase anything I like worth of 500 rupees. Now, if I give this paper to any shop, will he give me even 1 rupees samagri? No. He said, now get lost. Although these two papers look similar, this is also paper, this is also paper. But this paper is being sanctioned by government of India. Okay, this is 500 rupees, this is our. You can give anywhere. So similarly, this is the difference between statue, idol and the deity. The deities are sanctioned, authorized by pure devotees. And therefore this deity, Krishna is present in the deity form. Krishna is not forced to present in any stone. Now here, water is present everywhere in the atmosphere. Even the air, clean air, also carries water particles. Even the air also will find the water. Now here and this, in the air, there is water particles. Can we fetch water from this air? No. Although this water is present everywhere, but we cannot fetch water from the air. But if you open the tap, you'll get the water. So there is a process of getting water. Although water is present everywhere. So similarly, God is present everywhere. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. Krishna or God is present in every atom and the space in between, God is present. But just like a cow's udder. Cows, every inch of her body, every limb contains milk. Milk is a transformation of blood. So wherever there is the blood in the cow's body, there is a milk. But if you try to take milk or from the ear of a cow, you won't get the milk. The milk you can get only from the udder of a cow. So similarly, God is, sometimes people say, oh, why should I go to the temple? Why only and look at the deities only? God is present everywhere. But God is present everywhere. But suppose like you want to talk to the deity. You want to serve God. Will you serve the sky? How will you talk to God? Look at the sky. Oh God, I love you. Here is my garland. Here is my bhoga. No. God has come in the form of his deity. And most important, God has come in the form of a holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. And the deity worship is supportive to chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Because when we see God present in the holy name, that is the highest realization. But till that time, we have to serve through the deities. It's very accessible for the sadhakas. Another example. Now we are all sitting in this temple hall. And if we bring a television set here, you can watch Hollywood, Bollywood movies or any songs. You can see any photos. You can hear any music. Because in this temple hall, all these movies are happening in the wave format. And the television set, how it shows you movies? Because there is one TV tower. So this TV tower, it broadcasts encode waves. The encoded waves are broadcast from the TV's tower. And those encoded waves are received by the television set. And within the television, all those waves are decoded. And when the waves are decoded, they decoded into a music or a picture or any movie. And then you can see movies happening over there. Now here also in the atmosphere, the movies are happening. The pictures are there. The photos are there. But we cannot see with our eyes. We need a television set. When we get a television set, we can see all the movies. Isn't it? Krishna's movies. So similarly, God is present everywhere, but the deity is like a television. You can clearly see all the leelas, all happening in a deity form. So why does Krishna appears in the deity form? So that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. You offer homage to me, you offer respectful obeisance to me, worship me, and always remember me. Therefore, Rupa Goswami also says that the essence of all the scriptures is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And therefore, Rupa Goswami has given 64 items of devotional service. Amongst that, the five are most important. And Archa Vigraha, worshiping of the deities, is one of the five. So, it is the most authentic process Rupa Goswami has given. So, how does Krishna appears in the deity form? It's like we have oven, you know, oven and refrigerator. If we have no electricity connection to the oven or a refrigerator, it will act like a dead. Without electricity, oven is just standing like a dead matter. As soon as there is an electricity connection, the oven will start heating. Now we can cook pizza into that oven. Or you can make ice cream in the freeze refrigerator because of the electricity current. So similarly, when Krishna is pleased with the devotee's service, he can also appear in some deity form. And when the Krishna appears in some stone, immediately becomes deity. And ordinary food, rice, dal, sabji, it remains ordinary food. As long as you worship and offer it to Krishna. And as soon as it is offered to Krishna, it becomes prasad. Electricity connection, Krishna's mercy connection. We are all human beings, like, you know, male, female, Prabhuji, Matajis.
We are also ordinary human being.
But when this human being, man and woman, they are connected to Krishna, they become Prabhuji, Mataji, devotees of Krishna. So, even ordinary words become a poet or Harinam Sankirtan or Bhajan. So, that is a connection of Krishna. So, one person asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, why did you introduce this deity worship? So, then Prabhupada very beautifully explained, if Krishna or God comes in front of you as a Virat Rupa, universal form, how will you dress him? This is Prabhupada's exact words. If you want to garland him, will you climb on his body? How will you garland him? How will you serve him? How will you dress him? Therefore, he is so merciful. Out of his godless mercy, he has taken a form of like a 4 feet or 5 feet deity form. Now you can very easily, you can serve him. And then, very beautiful. Deity's reciprocation with the devotees. Suppose like one lady, one mother, gives birth to a baby, just newly born baby. But immediately after delivery or a birth, the child dies, leaves his body. And that lady also has one more son, 18 years old boy. So when the newly born baby boy leaves its body, the people will mourn, they will have some painful situation in their life. But when the 18 years old boy leaves the body, the whole village will mourn. My God, why it happened? How it happened? What is the difference? Here is also a son of a same woman, newly born baby, and here is an 18 years old boy, he is also a son. The difference is 18 years service, 18 years connection, 18 years relationship. So when you serve day after day to someone, naturally we develop love for that person. So similarly, when you serve the deities, like in Radharaman, they have one fire, you know. Since the time of Radharaman's appearance, that fire has been going on in the kitchen. So there are so many temples in the India, they have their unique style of worshipping the deities. Their way of dressing, bhoga offering, their dancing, their kirtan style. So decades after decades, centuries after centuries, the devotees are serving Krishna with so much of love and devotion. And therefore, Krishna is present in the form. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayasati tadaham bhakti upratam ashnami prayatatmanah. If you offer a flower or a leaf or a water or a fruit with devotion to Krishna, Krishna accepts it. Krishna eats it. So Krishna Prabhupada was giving lecture in New York and Prabhupada was mentioning this verse. He was reciting this verse. So one man raised his hand and he said, Swamiji, you said that Krishna eats food? I don't think so. What do you think? Then Prabhupada became a little angry. And he said, now here in this verse, Krishna is personally saying that whoever offers me a flower, a leaf, or a fruit, or a water with love and devotion, ashnami prayatatmana, I eat it. So then Prabhupada said, if Krishna is personally saying that he eats it, and you are saying he's not eating, so should I listen to a loafer like you? Prabhupada used this word. Should I listen to a loafer like you or Krishna? So there is no need of giving any misinterpretation in Krishna's verse. So Krishna has a form and he accepts Anganiyasya. What is the next line? Sakalendriya. His indriyas, his senses are completely full and perfect. Which is any kind of limb he can do, any kind of service or leela. But only thing is that, with love and devotion. When Krishna went to Hastinapur, Duryodhana had made a grand feast for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna rejected it straightforwardly. He said, no, you don't have love. You are envious of my devotees. Therefore, I won't eat at your place. Then Krishna went to Vidura's house and he eat an ordinary, you know, some sabji, shak. He accepts it with love and devotion. So, one must have love and devotion for the deities. It is a beautiful incident. Once there was one devotee, so-called devotee of Shiva. And every day he would worship Shivalinga. Every day. He would pour water. After washing and giving bath to the Shivalinga, he would offer bhoga to Shivalinga. One day what happened? He had offered the bhoga to Shivalinga and he came out of the altar, but somehow the window was opened. And he just looked from the window and he saw one rat was crawling on the top of the Shivalinga. Not only crawling on the top of the Shivalinga, the rat started eating the bhoga. Now the conclusion of this Mahajana, this Mahatma, he said, oh, this Shivalinga is so helpless. This Shivalinga cannot protect himself or protect his bhoga from the rat. How will he protect me? This Shivalinga, he is supposed to be a god. He cannot protect himself from the rat. How will he protect me? He became atheist after that. So our Acharya gives the explanation. You stupid, do you have love? Krishna is so powerful, God is so powerful. Why only protecting himself? He can protect the whole world. Devaki and Vasudev, before Krishna started reciprocating in their life, they had shown their surrender, their love for Krishna. Kamsa had put Devaki and Vasudev behind the bar in the jail. For so many years, the seven sons, six sons were killed brutally, mercilessly in front of Devaki, the mother and father. But they never complained Krishna. Oh Krishna, you are supposed to be a God, Supreme God. Why are you tasting so much? Why don't you take the first birth? Why only eighth incarnation? They never complain. They just accepted Krishna. Whatever is your way, whatever is your mercy, Krishna, whatever you want, we'll do it. And when they showed that surrender, when Krishna appeared, Krishna said, okay, immediately their shackles were broken up. The doors were opened. All the guards went to sleep. Krishna can show miracle. Krishna can protect himself. Krishna can protect his devotees. Only thing is that we should have love and devotion like Devaki and Vasudev. Yashoda Mai never thought that, oh, my Krishna is supreme. He is God. He can protect from himself from any demon. Let him play anywhere. When that air demon, Trinavarta, came and he picked up Krishna. Yashoda Mai never thought, oh, he will protect himself. He is God. No, she was so much worried, she started crying. So, we don't consider our, like, you know, we don't use God for our protection. Whatever way I want, they should, the God should do it. So, why should we offer any bhoga to God or Krishna? Because when we offer something to Krishna, although it belongs, everything belongs to Him. Our bodies also belong to Him. But when you offer something, just like a father, he brings so many delicious items for his children. Suppose there are four kids. They are eating whatever brought by father. But one of the child, he gives back some food to father. He says, but Pitaji, please taste this. Although it is brought by father, but when the child returns his back something to Krishna, his father, the father becomes very pleased. So similarly, whatever we have, any food, any property, anything we have, it belongs to Krishna. But when you offer a little bit back to Krishna, he becomes very pleased. Radhana Swami Maharaj gives the example of offering Ganges water back to the Ganges. The whole water belongs to Ganga. But if you offer one, you know, palm full of water back to Ganga, she becomes very pleased. Bharat Maharaj, although he became the deer in his next life, but because in his previous life, he had served the deities so faithfully, he would worship the deities, he would chant the mantras, Even in the deer's body, he remembered the deity worship. And in the deer's form, in the deer's body, he was not staying with the other ordinary deer. The deer would only stay around the hermitage of the sages and rishis and would eat only dry grass. So in this way, the deity worship protected Bharat Maharaj. Even Agastya Rishi gave curse to Indradyumna Maharaj to become an elephant, Gajendra. Even after he became expert in the body of an elephant, he still remembered his previous life. How he was chanting the mantras for the pleasure of the deities and he was serving the deities. And even the Gajendra's elephant's form, he remembered all his interactions, his service to Krishna. Therefore, in our ISKCON also, we have this system. Right from the childhood, the children are given the deities, Krishna's form. Like our Vrinda, she always carries Krishna, that cotton Krishna deity. She always carries wherever she goes. So it's very good. Rather than carrying something, some dragons or crocodiles or scorpions, it's good to carry Krishna in your hands. So we should give this training to our children. We should give them Krishna, Balaram. Just like Jiva Goswami, in his childhood, he would only play with Krishna Balaram's deities. He was only serving Krishna and Balaram in his childhood. Prabhupada says that even in his childhood, he would see his father, Manmohan Day, Gaur Mohan Day. He was, early in the morning, he was worshipping Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada would watch his father, observe his father worshipping the deities. So, and then Prabhupada, when he was a small baby, he asked his father, I also want the state of deities. So his father gave him Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada started worshipping Radha and Krishna from his childhood. So similarly, this is a very nice system to give deities in the childhood to all our children. Even Guru also gives training to his disciples. Sri Vigraha Radhana Nityanana Shringara Tanmandira Marjanado. Guru himself worships the deities. And he also gives training to his disciples to worship the deities, to serve deities, and clean the temple hall. Some people, they say that deity worship is meant only for neophytes. They say that your religion, you worship deities because you cannot see God everywhere. But we can see God. Therefore, there is no need of worshipping the deities. But it is not true. If you are able to see God everywhere, then you must be Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Na Shochiti Na Kangshati, Sama Sarveshi Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. But you don't have these qualities. Like, free from all the envy and lust, greed and anger, and respect and honor, name and fame. No. So therefore, what is the test? Even for our entertainment, we watch movies, go to the theater, and do so many things. That shows that we are not a Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. We are still on a bodily platform. So we need to do deity worship. Deity worship is we can easily relate with a God. Deity worship is not meant only for a neophyte devotees. Even the big acharyas, like Shankaracharya, he was also worshipping the deities. Ramanujacharya, every day he would worship Ranganath and so many other deities. All over India he established 108 tirthas. So, Ramanujacharya worshipped the deities. Madhvacharya, what kind of love he had for Udupi Krishna. So he made a system. All the sannyasis, those who are pure-hearted sannyasis, only worship the deities. That means, deity worship was not for neophytes, even for a great advanced Vaishnavas like Madhvacharya. Gadadhar Pandit, he would worship deity, Tota Gopinath. So previously that Tota Gopinath, Gopinath size was around like a 7 feet or 7.5 feet. But when Gadadhar Pandit became old, his body became hunchback, he couldn't put garland or a turban on Krishna's head. So the deity sat in the cross-legged position. He said, okay, Gadadhar Pandit, I can see that you are so old, You cannot serve me properly. Okay, I'll sit down like this. So now Totokopinath is in a sitting position. And Gadadhara Pandita was serving even in his old age. And then we also have Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami wanted to serve Krishna in a deity form, as a Krishna, Tribhanga form. So Shaligram Shila expanded, transformed into Radha Raman deity for the pleasure of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Radhana Swami Maharaj beautifully narrated the pastimes of Ghanashyam Babaji serving Gopijana Vallabh in Vrindavan. Even Radhana Swami Maharaj himself, in New Vrindavan, he served the deities 24 hours for so many years. Yajana Nivas Prabhu, serving more than 50-60 years in Mayapur Dham. There is one more devotee, he left his body in Vrindavan, Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. Very unique personality. I heard that when he joined the temple, from joining, the day of joining, till leaving his body, he never went out of the campus of Krishna Balaram temple. He just stayed within the temple. And out of 24 hours, almost more than 18 hours, he was only cooking for the deities and washing all the vessels. And one offering is over, so the next offerings, cooking and offering and everything was ready. Only one person was doing it. He was the only person in ISKCON. One devotee complained to Prabhupada. He said, Vibhu Chaitanya is not chanting 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, for him there is no need of chanting 16 rounds. Only one person in ISKCON. Prabhupada said, there is no need for him to chant 16 rounds. Because he was constantly 18 hours only cooking and washing the vessel. Cooking and washing the vessel. And same time loudly chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Vibhu Chaitanya. So, when he became a little old, then he was only chanting 64 rounds and only distributing Charanamrita. Very nice devotee. He also served deities. So, one last point I'll mention. Many atheistic kind of people, they say that, oh, why should we spend so much of money in the temple, deity worship, so much of gold, and the ornaments are so costly, the dresses are so costly, you are offering bhoga, it takes up so much of money. Rather, you should feed the poor beggars. That's true. The beggars or the needy people should be taken care of, naturally. But we don't think that only because of the deity worship, all the beggars are starving. There are many reasons. If you are targeting the deity worship or a temples, then we must target the millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires. Those who are spending millions of dollars for their wardrobes and for their perfumes and their liquor and other habits. Millions of dollars. But nobody asks this question to them. In front of their companies or their mansions in their palaces, there are so many beggars are starving, but nobody will ask this question to them. We should also target race courses, cinema theaters, and clubs, casinos. Literally billions of dollars are spent, but nobody will ask question, isn't it? Is it just even if a fraction of money, if you give it to the beggars, all the poor beggars will be paid fully. Right? So why only you just see your 1 or 2 liter milk or some money wasted for dressing, this, that? It's all atheism. It's actually envy towards God. There is no logic behind it. So Prabhupada one time, he went to one temple in the west. And just by taking darshan of the deities, he said that the deities are looking very weak. So he called upon the temple president and he said, why the deities are looking very weak? And then temple president admitted that Prabhupada, because of some financial condition in the temple, previously we used to offer 6 bhogas in a day, but now we have reduced it. we are offering only 4 bhogas a day. The 2s are less. Therefore, deities are looking weak. Prabhupada could see that. In another temple, Prabhupada went and he saw, he took the darshan and he said, why the deities are looking so tired? Again, he called upon a temple president. He said, why the deities are looking so tired? He said, Prabhupada, nowadays the guests are coming late night. So hundreds of people are coming late night. So we have extended our night darshan. 1 hour extra. And therefore the deities are getting 1 hour less rest in the night. And therefore they are looking tired. See, a pure devotee just by looking at the deity can see. Krishna, Prabhupada said, here is Krishna. He has appeared only for your pleasure. Prabhupada said to everyone, he has appeared only for your pleasure. He is ready to talk to you. These are the exact words of Prabhupada. He said, he is ready to talk to you. Only thing is that you may qualify yourself. You qualify yourself to talk to Krishna. He is so kind. He is here. You can dress him. You can worship him. You can talk to him. So, out of godless mercy, Krishna has appeared in the deity form so that we can offer services to him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.